Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another Dynasty Team Preview here for the 2024 season on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and as always, joined by Koopa. So today we're going to look at the Minnesota Vikings, the new look Minnesota Vikings, especially at the quarterback position. So Coach Kevin O'Connell is still there, and his offensive coordinator is Wes Phillips. Obviously, O'Connell calls the plays there, so he's kind of the one that's most important. Key players who left this offseason. So obviously, Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta. Josh Dobbs moved on. Alexander Mattison moved on as well. And KJ Osborne, who had been there for a couple years, he also moved on. 175 targets, 1,019 air yards are missing from this offense this season. So quarterback play, go ahead and start us off there with the quarterbacks, Koopa.
So the quarterback that everyone knows is J.J. McCarthy. They drafted him. I think it was the 10th pick in the first round after they moved up a spot. And he's going to be the quarterback of the future there. They have Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold probably ends up as the backup once we get to the season. But he could potentially start the first couple games of the season if J.J. McCarthy isn't quite ready to go. And those are the two guys that you really want to pay attention to. They still have Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. Both of them had an opportunity last year to play. Neither of them showed anything that exciting. They're fighting for the third quarterback spot. The Vikings did keep three quarterbacks on their 53-man last year, two of which were Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. So it makes me think that they're willing to keep three on it again this year. And so those two are fighting to be that emergency backup quarterback. But J.J. McCarthy is absolutely the guy that you're interested in. Currently right now, for redraft purposes, he's quarterback 26. That could easily go up if he ends up truly winning that starting quarterback job coming out week one, just because of the pass catching weapons that you have on this team.
Yeah, I could see either Mullins or Hall, one of them ending up on the practice squad, and then the other one is on the roster. So they probably end up having all four, just one will be on the practice squad. So I agree with you there. Some quick highlights here on McCarthy from Dane Brugler. Overall, McCarthy's evaluation feels incomplete, which creates even more projection than normal. But his passing skills, pocket athleticism, and mental makeup are all ascending and create optimism for his NFL future. Although bumps along the way should be expected, he has the package of tools to become an NFL starter early in his career. He had a 90.6 PFF grade last year. He was 240 of 333, 2,991 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 72.1 completion percentage. Intermediate grade was 92.4 and 93.1 on his deep ball. Under pressure, 72.9. So if you remember from a few days ago when I talked about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams was at 38-something, J.J. McCarthy is at 72.9. So just kind of remember, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks, this under pressure grade, hopefully he can improve on that. But yeah, J.J. McCarthy, pretty solid under pressure. 9.4 was his A dot as well. He was tied for 81st among quarterbacks. Running back. So they brought in Aaron Jones from the Packers this year to be their guy. His PFF grade last year, 80.9, which was ninth of 59 running backs last year. So really good season from Aaron Jones, even though he's getting up there in age. Obviously had that tremendous game against the Cowboys in the playoffs last year as well. So he can still get it done. I think he's a tremendous value right now. Ty Chandler, his PFF grade last year was 76.3, 19th of 59 running backs. Really good year from Ty Chandler. If you've listened to America's Game over the past couple years, Ty Chandler is one of my favorites. Probably my guy I own the most in most of my leagues right now. So really, really happy to see what he did last year. Kenny and Wong Nu is still there, the return man specialist. Miles Gaskin and Dwayne McBride, the 2023 seventh round pick, is there as well. They kept three running backs and a fullback last year on their 53. I think this year it's probably Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, and I'm going to give it to Kenny and Wong Nu as the three that they keep this year. What do you think about the running backs, Koopa?
Yeah, I think that it's probably something similar to what you said in terms of Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler just feel like the number one and the number two. Kenny Nwangwu has that returner ability, so he's, in my mind, a lock to make this team because he's done a great job kick returning for them. The real question is whether they feel like Kenny Nwangwu can be that third running back if they need him, if one of these two guys were to go down during a game, or whether they need to keep a fourth guy on the team. So last year it was three running backs and then a fullback that they kept. So the fullback was the guy that could sub in if they needed to. But if depending on exactly how this team shakes out, they could end up deciding also to keep somebody like Miles Gaskin, because I know Gaskin ended up joining the Vikings kind of late last year, so he didn't really have a full opportunity to showcase himself with a full offseason program, but he could be somebody that showcases himself to be a third running back this year. I think he's good enough to be able to do that.
Yeah, I've always been a big Miles Gaskin fan, too. I know he came in, like, midway through last year. Then he got signed for the Rams for, like, 1 week and then cut again, and then the Vikings picked him back up. But, yeah, he never really got to play at all last year for them. So maybe with an offseason he can get in there. Wide receivers here for the Vikings. So, obviously, Justin Jefferson is there, 91.1 grade last year, fifth of 128 wide receivers. Jordan Addison, his rookie year, PFF grade of 68.6, 56th of 128. Brandon Powell is slated for the slot role right now, PFF grade last year of 61.7, 80th of 128. The guy that I think could take Brandon Powell's spot, Jalen Naylor, who's dealt with some injuries, but he's had two. Last offseason was a really good training camp for him. Just got hurt, and he's already making plays at OTAs, some of the reports that I've read. So that's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. And then Trent Sherfield they brought in from Buffalo. His PFF grade last year was 51.1, 122 of 128. I kind of just think he's a depth piece. Tristan Jackson, who came over from the Rams practice squad with O'Connell, so he knows him. Malik Knowles, a 2023 UDFA. Lucky Jackson, another 2023 UDFA. Thayer Thomas, a 2023 UDFA. Ty James, a 2024 UDFA out of Mercer. They gave him a pretty good signing bonus to come to the Vikings. So that's a guy that I would watch out for. Jashawn Jones, a UDFA from this year from Maryland. And Devrin Harper, another UDFA from Mercer as well. They kept six on their initial 53-man roster last year. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Brandon Powell, I think, are locks. I would probably put Naylor and Sherfield as pretty good locks right now. And then that sixth spot would be wide open. So they might even only keep five this year, so who knows. But what are your thoughts here on the wide receivers?
Obviously, as you said, Jefferson and Addison, they're absolute locks. They're also guys that you want on your fantasy teams. Justin Jefferson is a wide receiver one. Jordan Addison, probably more in that wide receiver three to flex wide receiver conversation. But both of those guys are guys that you're interested in. I'm not really interested in anyone else from a normal lineup standpoint. Obviously, whoever wins the wide receiver three spot, I'm interested for best ball. And I'm in agreement with you. I think Brandon Powell might end up getting pushed out of the wide receiver three spot, especially by Jalen Naylor. I thought when Naylor was playing that he was showing quite well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that he ends up being the wide receiver three. The problem really becomes who else is on the team. Obviously, Brandon Powell would be on the team. I think Trent Sherfield makes it. And I could see one of these other guys also making the team if they either show some kick return ability or, I'll talk about it later, punt return ability as well.
And on to the tight ends now. So obviously TJ Hawkinson is there. PFF grade last year is 78.8, which was third of 72 tight ends. He might miss the first 6 weeks of the season. He injured his knee, multiple knee ligaments towards the end of last year. It might have been week 16 or 7. 16. Okay. So it was right at the end of last year. So he's going to have a tough road here to come back from. Probably misses the first six games. Robert Tonyan, who they just signed from the Bears, his PFF grade last year was 49.6, 63rd of 72 among tight ends. The reason they signed him, they said his workout was absolutely incredible. So that was one of the reasons they went ahead and just signed him. So I could see Tonyan being the guy who is the starter here to start the season for them. Johnny Munt, a Koopa favorite. I'll let Koopa blush and gush over him. Josh Oliver, he is there still. PFF grade last year of 75.1, which was ninth of 72 tight ends. So really good year PFF grade wise for Josh Oliver, but it just wasn't like for stats or anything. It must have been a really good run blocking grade for him. Nick Muse, who made the roster last year, is still there. N'Keal Harry, who is the convert from wide receiver to tight end now, former first round pick. Samus Reyes, who's on their international player pool, he is still there. And then Trey Knox, a UDFA they took from South Carolina this year. So they kept four tight ends last year. So I'm guessing Hawkinson is not going to start the first six games. So I'm guessing he goes on PUP. He won't count against their initial 53. So I'm going to go with Tonyan, Munt, Oliver, and Nick Muse will be the four guys that make it for them this year. And then Hawkinson obviously will come back later in the season. So what are your thoughts here on the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Hawkinson's somebody you're interested in, but I would not be surprised to hear that he ends up missing potentially even more than like those first 6 weeks of the season. It might take him a little bit to even just get integrated back in once he start playing. So Hawkinson, I agree, he's probably starting on the PUP. And so then you're looking at Tonyan, Munt, Oliver, and Muse if they want to do a fourth. I could see them only keeping three as well, because whoever their fourth tight end they do keep on the roster, they're going to have to cut when Hawkinson comes back. So it's one of those things where do you decide to do four knowing you're going to cut one guy later into the season, or do you decide to only keep three? That's really a decision kind of more for the coaching staff there. But Robert Tonyan, I think that now that he's come into this team, he has a serious opportunity to be the starting tight end for the Vikings. I don't necessarily think that he can win that completely outright. I think that there might be a little bit of a tight end rotation going on. And the reason for that is, so Josh Oliver, you mentioned his PFF grade, 75.1, ninth of 72. If you look at his salary, you'd think he's also a really solid tight end. And then you look at his stats, you're like, why does he never catch any passes? It's because he's an absolutely amazing blocker. He was an amazing blocker for the Ravens. He's an amazing blocker for the Vikings since they signed him over from Baltimore last year. And the problem is he just does not catch many passes. He's out there on a ton of snaps. He runs pretty few routes, and then he catches even fewer passes from those routes. So he's somebody that the reason that I gush over Munt as opposed to gushing over Oliver is because I think that Munt is the pass catcher of those two. And so assuming that you're going to, if you're discarding Robert Tonyan because he was a pretty recent signing for the Vikings, Johnny Munt is the tight end that you would want while TJ Hawkinson is out. It remains to be seen how it's going to be with Munt versus Tonyan. Obviously, they liked Tonyan enough to sign him. He had a really good workout, all that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see how the two of them either end up playing with each other if one plays over the other. But those would be either the two that I'm looking at if you're trying to have a tight end to start the season. You want Munt or you want Tonyan. Especially you're talking tight ends don't matter strategy. Those are going to be my big targets. I personally have Munt in a ton of my leagues. I think he's actually my most owned player out of literally any player in the NFL. But I'm definitely going to be picking up some Tonyans as well. Just in case that Munt ends up not being the guy. I'm looking for basically the non-Josh Oliver option if I'm looking in fantasy.
Yep, I agree. It's probably going to be like a rotation. Like you said, probably Tonyan, some Munt's going to be in there. Oliver's definitely going to be in there to block. So not somebody I want to roster, but best balls, deep best ball leagues, I can definitely see having one or two of these guys on your team. Offensive line. So they were 12th last year, which was kind of surprising to me because they don't really have like any studs on their line, but they played pretty well last year. So Christian Darrisaw was their top guy, left tackle, PFF grade last year of 82.4, eighth of 81. So he's really good left tackle in this league when he's healthy. Walter Rouse, who they drafted in the sixth round. Some highlights on him. Overall, Rouse might not have a distinguishing trait to hang his hat on, but he has NFL size and smarts with passable athleticism and strength to compete for an NFL roster spot. He has a potential swing tackle at the next level, so somebody they can bounce from left to right tackle if they need be. Left guard is Dalton Reisner, who they picked up from Denver. PFF grade last year was 57.1, 46th of 79 among guards, and his backup is Blake Brandel. Center Garrett Bradbury, PFF grade last year of 60.9, 23rd of 36 among centers, and his backup is longtime veteran Dan Feeney. Right guard right now is Ed Ingram, PFF grade last year of 59.5, which was 38th of 79, and Tyrese Robinson is his backup. And then at right tackle is Brian O'Neill, PFF grade last year of 74.5, 24th of 81 among tackles, and his backup is David Quessenberry. Kick returners, punt returners, go ahead with those, Kupo.
Yeah, so kick returners, Kenne Nwangwu is their Pro Bowl kick returner, and they also have Ty Chandler. I think those two guys are the guys back there doing kick returns, unless one of those multitudes of wide receivers that we were talking about earlier shows up. And then their punt returner last season was Brandon Powell. Brandon Powell did not do very well returning. I think he averaged about 7 yards per return, which is pretty low for punt returners. And then in general, the special teams unit for the Vikings was not rated very highly. I would not be surprised if Brandon Powell ended up being the punt returner again. I would also not be surprised if he ends up losing it. So it's one of those things where the question is the problem more on the special teams unit? Is the problem more on the returner himself? Like, we don't know exactly how the coaching staff views the situation, but there is something wrong. And so it could cause Brandon Powell to no longer be the punt returner and it be somebody else.
All right. Our final thoughts here on the Vikings. I think it's going to be come down to what we see in training camp, really. Is does J.J. McCarthy look ready over Sam Darnold, or is Sam Darnold the one that's making this offense kind of go in training camp? So I think right now it's kind of up in the air, at literally 50-50 for me on what's going to happen here. I couldn't make a decision either way. I could tell you a reason for each, but we'll see what happens there with the Vikings quarterback situation. Aaron Jones, I think he's really underrated right now. If you go like on your underdog drafts, he's getting drafted in the late teens. Like, I think Aaron Jones could have a really good season, especially with, how O'Connell and them, they throw the ball to the running backs. Aaron Jones is a hell of a receiver. I think Aaron Jones could have a really good year. As long as he's healthy, the offensive line stays relatively healthy. I think Aaron Jones could definitely be a value for you this year. Really like Ty Chandler, too, if something were to happen to Jones, who has gotten hurt in the past. I think Ty Chandler could come in and do really well. Justin Jefferson is obviously the main ingredient here. As long as he's healthy, he should be a top five wide receiver again in the NFL. Jordan Addison, I thought, had a really good rookie season, especially with Hockenson being out and probably not healthy until later in the season. I think Addison should be in for a really good season as the second main target on this offense. The third receiver, I mean, they've used to having KJ Osborne, so one of these third receivers is really going to have to step up. I'm hoping it's Jalen Naylor if he can stay healthy. I think he can come in and kind of do what KJ Osborne used to do for them. Tight ends, we'll see what happens there with Hockenson, but I think it's just kind of going to be a mishmash of Tanyan and Johnny Munt in there. We'll see how they go this year. How about your thoughts here on the Vikings to wrap it up, Kupo?
Yeah, I think that looking at how this quarterback situation is going to work out is going to be a big factor in how much I want to invest into this Vikings offense, especially the thing that worries me the most is actually talking about Justin Jefferson. I don't remember the last time that we had a top five wide receiver where the quarterback kind of shifted around over the course of the season, or the quarterback was somebody that we didn't think was very good. And so if it ends up being a situation where, hey, JJ McCarthy isn't ready to go at the beginning of the season and we're going to get a Sam Darnold, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see that that Justin Jefferson isn't able to hit that wide receiver five level. Like, he'll probably still be a wide receiver one, but we know from looking at Warp, the difference between the wide receiver four and the wide receiver 12 is pretty stark. And so that would be something where I want to really kind of reevaluate my Justin Jefferson predictions for this coming season if we end up seeing that the quarterback situation is still a little murky as we start getting towards the beginning of it. So it's one of those things to look out for. Everything else, as you said, in terms of, I think Aaron Jones is also undervalued, especially when you're talking about PPR, pass catching. They love throwing to the running back here in Minnesota, and so Aaron Jones is just going to gobble up all of those receptions and just get you points, regardless of how efficient he is at being an older running back.
Yeah, I kind of answer your question from earlier. I think the last one would be Tyreek going from Mahomes to Tua. You know, we didn't really think Tua would have it in him to get the ball even down the field to Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill has had back-to-back massive seasons with Miami. So that's the last one I could think of, but it's totally different situations.
The big different situation that I would say about that is Tua then ended up being still like quarterback 10 to 12 each year. And so if we're projecting JJ McCarthy to, realistically, a projection, if he were to play the whole season for JJ McCarthy, would probably be like quarterback 18 to 20. If you're looking at it in that realm, I don't think you can support a top five wide receiver on that level of quarterback production.
I think the theory would be O'Connell needs to make McCarthy his Brock Purdy. And that's probably where Brock Purdy ends up. He played really good last year, had a lot of touchdowns, but in that 10 to 15 range, I think is kind of where McCarthy would need to be. And he can run the ball a little bit too. So he's not a zero in the rushing game. He can get you probably 200 rushing yards and maybe a touchdown or two here. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with quarterback. If Darnold starts the first few games, then McCarthy comes in. I believe their bye is week 6. So that might be, you know, hey, Darnold starts the first 6 weeks, go to the bye week, and then McCarthy comes in. So we'll see how it goes. But that is going to be it this week for the NFC North, guys. We will be back next week with the NFC South.